we're holding the Ches Amud Beis in Megillah, and we'll quickly review what we saw. We saw that you have a Zav who had two sightings, a Zav who had three sightings. They're both Tameh till they can have a 7-day clean period. The Zav who saw two sightings simply goes to Mikveh afterwards. Good for you? Yeah. The Zav who had three sightings has to go to the Mikveh plus bring a Karban. We asked what's the source for this distinction between a Zav who saw two sightings and three sightings. Rav Simai quoted a verse that says he's Tamei, and that verse indicates that he had a sighting twice. The verse refers to his sightings twice. The other verse refers to his sighting three times and then calls him Tamei. So he said, why does one verse indicate he had two sightings, the other verse indicates three? To teach us that after two he's Tamei, and after three he is Tamei to the point that he needs a Karban. We said maybe after two he needs a Karban, and after three he's fully Tamei that he needs the immersion. And we left that as a question, how we know which comes first, the immersion or the Karban. Then we brought a Braisa. The Braisa said, it says the Kohen will atone for him Mizovo, to indicate that only some Zavin require this Karban, this atonement. So it must be that those that have three require the atonement, because if those that have two require the atonement, then obviously when you have three, you've already had to, you also require the atonement. So if we have to rule out some, we're going to have to say that the ones that have two don't bring the Karban. And that basically answers Rav Simai's question. Now the Gemara asked, anytime it says Mizovo, you darshan it. Anytime it says Mizovo, you're going to say only some Zav, not all Zav. What about the verse that says that when the Zav becomes pure, he has to count 7 days before he immerses in the mikvah? That verse also says, V'chi tara zav mizovo. That also uses the word mizovo. What's that to the exclusion of? We said that too is to the exclusion of his blemish. If he had, his body gave out these white spots, suddenly as he breaks out in white spots of tzaraas, even though technically he won't be tahor from the tzaraas until he is cured of that, nonetheless, when he's finished with his ziva, when he's finished with his flow, he can have 7 clean days and immerse and become tahor from the ziva. In certain respects, tumas tzaraas is more stringent. And a tamei tzaraas walks into the house, the whole house is tamei, just like a dead person, right? So tzaraas in certain respects is more chamur. In other respects, zav is more chamur, because the zav, we said, has tumas heses, things that he moves on a seesaw. A zav has tumas merkav, things that he leans on. A zav has mishkav and moshav, even 20 layers beneath him become Tameh. So in certain respects, Zav has greater Tuma than a Mitzora. In certain respects, a Mitzora has greater Tuma than a Zav. So we say that the Zav, the word Mizovo, in this Pasuk that says that he can go and have, he can immerse and become Taho, that Pasuk indicates that he does not have to be cured of all Tumot that sprout out of his body. It's enough that he becomes cured of the ziva, of the flow, and then he could immerse himself. He does not have to be cured of the tumas tzaraas as well. So far, so good? Yeah?
I got a question on does any tumma that counts off other tumma, does like tumma mace override like tumas stuff? Or do they? Are they just? They kind of. You can have both at the same time.
Right.
And then, what if say you kill one? Does the other one still there? Or does it? Okay. So they're completely kind of like separate systems, but they're like you. Okay.
Yeah, but the Talmud discusses how do we know this? I mean, it's a good question. The Talmud itself questions this.
Okay.
Now I'm giving you a general answer, which is the answer you need to learn. The specifics of the answer and where my answer is correct and where it's incorrect, you will learn as you learn. The general guideline you need to have is that in general, they are completely separate and you can never cure one without the other. As you learn, you will see slight exceptions to that. But for now, what you need to know for your learning is that each one is its own entity. Ziva is its own entity, tzaraas is its own entity, mace is its own.
Can do on a certain day. So let's say a girl has sab and need does if you do one, does it cancel? If you immerse for one, does that cancel out also for the nida? Or is that? I mean, are they that separate? I mean, how do you know which emotion it's for? Maybe it's count for both.
Let's leave it. It's a good question. Technically, technically you're right. That would be an example of where she could do a tevila for both. If I remember correctly, for Ziva and Nida, it's one tevila. You're right, that would be an example where she could. So I said you're going to see exceptions. Right. Okay. Technically she could, right? She could do one immersion for Ziva and Nida. Right. Okay. So now, let's go back to Ches Amar Aleph, the conclusion of the Braisa. The Braisa had said, it says in the Pasuk, Mizovo, when the Zov becomes pured from his flow, Visafal, and he shall count 70s. So we say that juxtaposition of those two words, Limed al Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyot, Shetoun Spirat Shiva. That teaches me that a Zav, after he's had two sightings, is required to have the 7-day count. So the Gemara says, wait a second, what do I need a special derivation for? Balodino, isn't it logical? Imitame Mishkavu Moshav. If he, when he sits on something, when he leans on something, when he lies on something, he makes it defiled. So you see, the Torah considers him a Zav. Lo yetun spirat shiva. Doesn't it automatically mean he's also going to require the 7-day count? Why do you need a special derivation? Where would we find a case that a person is mitame, defiles something he sits on like a Zav, something he lies on like a Zav, but would not require a 7-day count? Says the Gemara, I do find such a concept. We described that a woman has her period. A woman can be a Zava, and we said halachically, they have the same dinim, Zav and Zava. Now, technically, I mean, again, we're doing an overview, so we're not discussing that the Zav has to immerse in waters that are connected to an underground stream, and a Zava does not, meaning there are differences. But for our purposes, we're going to say they're identical, a Zav and a Zava, because in most, with regard to most things of Tumah and Tahara, they are identical. So, guys, you can't learn all the details in 1 second. If I'm going to nitpick details and things, you're not going to get anywhere. So for now, we're assuming they're identical. So a woman, she has her cycle, right? Let's say every 30 days she has her period, right? She has her period. Her period lasts her 7 days. At the end of 7 days, she's finished her bleeding. She checks herself. She's clean. She goes to mikveh that night. And she's pure. That's it. That's the biblical halacha of nida. Rabbinically, we do it differently. But biblically, a woman has her set period. She knows every 30 days, the first of the month, she sees blood for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, she checks, she's clean, she goes to mikveh, comes home, pure, finished. Okay, so far so good. Now, after those 7 days that she always sees, she doesn't necessarily see all 7 days. Maybe she sees 6 days, 5 days. After that 7-day period, even if she saw 5 days, she has to wait 7 days, total of seven. After that 7-day period, she has 11 days. And those 11 days are called the days of Ziva. Those are 11 days where I say, she shouldn't be seeing blood today. She should be clean today. If she sees today, it's Ziva. It's the flow. That's not Nida. That's not menstruation. It's Ziva. It's a flow. Now, after those 11 days, if she starts seeing again, I say, oh, that's the period. Came too early. Her period came early. But the first 11 days after the 7 are called Hadasar Yemei. Those are the 11 days of Ziva. That if she sees then, I say, that's a flow, that's not her menstruation. We all together? Yeah? Okay, I don't know if anyone else is going to teach you this till you become a chassan. So listen, good. And when you become a chassan, they'll teach you it practically. They won't teach you the history of the biblical aspects. So, I hope. I hope they won't teach it to you, because they'll just confuse you. But for now, we need to know Gemara. So for Gemara, we need to know the base biblical aspects. So, now, during those 11 days, if she sees today, so then we tell her, tomorrow, make sure you're clean. And then, go to mikvah. That's called Shomeret Yom, Kineged Yom. That she watches one day corresponding to the day she saw. If she saw today, she makes sure tomorrow is clean, and then she goes to mikvah. Shomeret Yom, Kineged Yom. She watches a day corresponding to a day. So far, so good. Now, after she sees 2 days, then she needs clean. After she sees 3 days, she becomes a Zava Gedola, major Zava, right? But she does have this aspect. If she saw one day, she's a Zava Ktanha, she's got a small flow, she saw a little bit today, during those 11 days where she shouldn't see, and we say that's not her menstruation, that's her flow. So now she is a Zava, she has all the defilements of a Zava, but she doesn't have to count 7 days. So we said, why does the Pasuk have to tell me he has to count 7 days after 2 sightings? Isn't it obvious? Once he defiles everything like a Zav, shouldn't he also need a count of 7 days like a Zav? Where do you find such an idea that someone defiles everything like a Zav, but doesn't require the 7 days? Answers the Gemara, or questions the Gemara, no. Shomeret Yom Kineged Yom Tochiyach. This woman who has a day corresponding to a day, she'll prove that you do need a verse for this derivation. Because Shem Tama Mishkavu Moshav, she does defile the things she sits on, the things she lies on, or the things she sits on, just like any other Zav. Veinatuna Svirat Shiva, she doesn't have to count 7 days. Ve'afata Al Titma Al Zeh, so don't ask me about this guy. Shavat Bishem Tamei Mishkavu Moshav, if not for the verse, I would say, even though he is Mitameh, even though he does defile the things he lies on or sits on, like a regular Zav, Lo Yetun Svirat Shiva. Maybe he still doesn't need a count of 7, just like she doesn't need a count of 7. We see such a concept exists in the Torah. Tilmod lomar, that's why the Braisa tells me, learn from the Pasuk. Mizovov is safar, miktzat zovov is safar. Once he's had part of his flow, he already has to count. Limed azav ban shteruyot, shetoun svirat shiva. This taught me that a zav who had 2 sightings already requires a 7-day count, even though technically he's not yet responsible to bring a karban. He's not a full-fledged zav. The fact that he's defiled doesn't automatically mean he's going to need a 7-day count. I'll prove it to you from the woman. Okay? Clear?
What is Zava? Is that like a disease? Like, Zava, as you get like, whatever.
It's a...
Sarah says the Rambam,
not like you. Sarah says the Rambam is a miracle. The Rambam says we have 2 mitzvos that are miracles. They're not diseases. The 2 mitzvos that are miracles are Saras and tell me guys, what's the other mitzvah? Soto. The Rambam says we have 2 mitzvos in the Torah that are miraculous. Only 2. But the Rambam didn't learn it was disease-oriented. But the Chizkuni and the Ibn Ezra, other Rishonim learn like you, that it is disease-oriented. Ziva, it seems, is disease-oriented. You see, the Rambam didn't say it's he didn't say it's miraculous. Okay. And that we didn't learn yet. Back to the Gemara. Amale Rav Papa Labaye. Who is Rav Papa? Big Talmud Chacham. We know that. But what else do we know about him? He was Rava's disciple. So much so that the Gemara will often assume that what Rav Papa says is really Rava's opinion. It's taken as a given.
The master of Rebbe as well?
What?
Is he, I thought something, I don't think it was correct. Is there any relation to Rebbe?
Not that I know of. So Rav Papa, maybe, I don't know. I mean, Rav Papa asks Abaye. So Rav Papa is the next generation. Abaye and Rava are contemporaries. We're in the first wide line on Chesam and Beis. Abaye and Rava are contemporaries. Rav Papa is Rava's disciple. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, Maishna, and this is the question I thought that Moshe Silver was asking last night. Maybe this is what he meant to ask. Deep down inside his neshama meant to ask him, that maybe he even asked it and I didn't understand it. Amar le Rav Papa, le Rava. Rav Papa now asks Abaye, Maishna haimi zovo de marbi beizav bal shteriyot, Maishna haimi zovo de mimit beizav bal shteriyot. How come when you had mizovo the first time, you said, you bring a sacrifice for the person, mizovo, from his flow, to indicate only some of the people that have a flow. and not the guy who has two sightings. The second time it says, he will immerse himself mizovo, and there we said mizovo is to indicate that he will immerse himself from his sighting, even if it's two sightings, but he doesn't have to wait till he finishes his tzaras. Here you say it's coming to include the two sightings in the second time. The first time you said it's coming to exclude the two sightings. Right? So that's the Gemara's question. Netanyahu is saying that too. He says the Gemara. No one got that. Okay. He said, could you guys move left a little bit? I said Netanyahu is saying the same thing. Back to Gemara. Amale is al kadaitech haile me'ute hudeata. So he says to him, really you're right. Really we should learn the second pasuk like we learned the first pasuk. That's coming to the exclusion of a zav who had two sightings. But if that's what you thought it meant, lishtok ramine, let the pasuk be silent and not say the word mizovo. So what would we say? The pasuk says, v'chitar azav, when the zav becomes pure, he has to immerse himself. I would say, he has to count 7 days, I'm sorry, and then immerse himself. You'd ask me, which zav? The guy who has two sightings or three sightings? I'd say, you know what? Pasuk didn't tell me. When the pasuk doesn't tell me, I have a rule. Tafasta merubeh lo tafasta, tafasta muat tafasta. When I have to apply a pasuk, I always apply it to the minimum. The minimum extent I can. Because I say, if you apply it one step, okay, you ask me, how do I know? Well, it's got to mean at least that, right? So if this pasuk says, one zav must go count 7 days. So I'll say, well, which is the most stringent zav I have? The guy who saw three times, right? That's the most stringent zav we have. So I'd say, the pasuk says you need a 7 day count. Who's it talking about? The most stringent zav we have, three times zav. What about the zav who saw two times? I don't know. You don't know. You can't apply the pasuk. Tafasta merubeh, if you try to apply it to too much, lo tafasta, you won't get there. We'll ask you, how do you know to apply it this much? Maybe it only meant that. So tafasta muat, if you take the smaller derivation, tafasta, then you stand. No one can knock you down, right? Guys, you got the logic? It's simple logic. I have a pasuk. So the Gemara is saying, if the word mizovo meant to tell me simply the Gemara says it. You'll see throughout the Shas. Tafasta muat tafasta. Does Rashi say it here? I don't remember.
So it's a rule of pasuk derivation.
It's a rule of all derivations, yeah. A rule in all derivations, and people apply it philosophically to life as well. When you try to accomplish too much, you don't get anywhere. Tafasta merubeh lo tafasta. Okay, now.
And how does it apply to the logic?
So the logic, again. We had said, why does this pasuk about waiting 7 days, how do you know that this pasuk, when it says mizovo, is coming to be inclusive, to include the zav who saw two times? Why do you say it's coming to include the zav who saw two times to the exclusion of the nega tzaras? How do you know? Maybe we should say, just like we said earlier, who has to count 7 days? Only the guy who saw three times. And mizovo is coming to exclude. Only some zavim must wait 7 days. The guy who saw two times maybe does not have to wait 7 clean days. So the Gemara says, if that were the meaning of the pasuk should have left out the word mizovo. What would the pasuk have said? When the zav becomes tahor, he waits 7 days. Now you'll ask me, which zav? Guy who saw three times or also a guy who saw two times? I'll tell you, I don't know. If I don't know, how do I apply the pasuk only to the most stringent case, to the guy who saw three times? Yeah? Because of this rule, tafasta muat tafasta. If you want to apply it to the minimum you can prove. So that you could prove. So if that's what the pasuk meant, lishtok raminei, let the pasuk be silent. It shouldn't have said the word mizavo altogether. Now, you might tell me, wait a second. But I'll tell you logically, like we tried saying at the bottom of the previous page, if the zav who saw two times is tameh with all the different aspects of tumah, obviously he also needs a 7 day count. Why should he be any different? V'chitema, and maybe you'll ask me, atya medina, that if the pasuk wouldn't have said the word mizavo, I would have included a zav who saw two sightings. How would I have known to include him? I would have used logic. I would have said, you know, where do you find such a concept that a person has the tumot of a Zav and does not need the count, no, you couldn't have said that. I would have answered you, Shomeret Yom Kineged Yom Tochiach, the same way we answered at the top of this page. I'll prove to you not that way. From the woman who saw one day and has to wait one day, she doesn't have to wait seven, and yet she has all the tumot of Zav. So, on this pasuk, I didn't have a choice. Right? So, you'll tell me, again, what the question was, why don't you use mizovo to the exclusion of two sidings? Answer, because then I wouldn't have needed the word mizovo here. Take out the word mizovo, and I say, fine, he's excluded as it is. I don't need mizovo. Okay, we're all together? Yes? When you review it, you should have a question here. But don't feel bad if you don't. You'll learn it a few times.
What time did you guys start tonight?
No. No. 21 minutes and 2 seconds, according to this. Back to the Gemara. So, the Gemara says, V'chi tema, but we're hitting the Mishnah in one line. V'chi tema, hai mi baile mizovo, velo mizovo v'nigo. Maybe you'll tell me. Just a second. You'll tell me, wait a second, but why are you using this mizovo to encompass? Didn't you use it already to the exclusion of a nega? How could you encompass? You're using it for two derivations. You're saying mizovo to include two sidings, mizovo to the exclusion of the nega. So I'll tell you, really, there are two aspects of the limud. If the limud only meant to the exclusion that he doesn't have to wait till he's cured from the tzaras, im ken lichtov kravi chitar hazav, the pasuk should have just said when the zav becomes tahor, then he counts 7 days and immerses v'lishtok, and let him be silent. And I would have assumed, being that it says v'chitar, I would have said, what's he becoming pure of what we were discussing just now? Meaning the Gemara's understanding that the derivation that I do not have to wait for the tzaras to cure is not the way we understood until now. Till now we understood it was from the word mizovo. He only has to wait till he's cured from the flow in order to immerse. The fact that he has another tumah on him, the tumah of tzaras, doesn't interest us. That's how we understood it until now. Now the Gemara is saying, no, that derivation was from a different word. From the words v'chital. V'chital, we're understanding, means when he becomes pure of what we were talking until now. What were we talking about? His flow. So v'chital means when he becomes pure of that. Remember we said, what does the word tahor mean? Removal of. When he stops having the flow, so then I understand. V'chital means when he stops having the flow. I don't need the word mizovo for that. So then mizovo, lamali, why do I need the mizovo? Limed azav bal shteriyot shetun svirat shiva. That must be here just to teach me to include the Zav who saw two sightings. If you guys didn't understand this, don't feel bad. I did the best I could, but I'm not sure I explained it well enough. The truth is, we need a blackboard. So now you tell me. You want me to start where? Because I feel like I'm the only one here who's hit the Mishnah. I know what you want. What do you guys want?
Perhaps it's...
Why one is it possible to stay
with
time
relief.
Travel to go back and see
the
things
that
have
come
on?
Guys, what?
Okay.
Like,
we've been looking at this mission.
Fine.
Did the same thing happen yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah. We just concluded. So, we're up to the Mishnah. No, I'm not sure I explained it well enough.
You need to draw it out.
I have to draw it out. We have two choices. We could spend the remaining 20 minutes drawing out, explaining the steps of the Gemara, or going on with the Mishnah. You want to go on, right?
Yeah.
You want to go on?
I'm
you want to draw it out?
I don't vote.
You don't vote, and you want to draw it out, really?
No, actually, I shouldn't be taking it into account, but I would rather progress to the next mission.
Okay.
I missed too much of this to go ahead and do the next mission. Maybe I could start.
That's the vote. Next Mishnah. Okay. Okay.
You're saying.
Say that. Now, again, intro. Let's pause for a minute. Okay.
Which Mishnah?
Yeah. This is still tough Gemara. I'm telling you, this is the last really tough Gemara. After this, it gets slightly easier, and after the next page, it gets really easier. So, okay. Let's begin. Torah tells us that there exists a concept of tzaras, right? In Parshas Tazria, Torah tells us a person can have a white spot. That white spot can develop two white hairs, and then he goes to the kohen who has studied and has a tradition to discern whether it is a baheres, which is a spot which is azaka sheleg, a brazen white like snow, or it is a derivative of baheres, which is derived from the word sapachas. Sapachas means secondary. So sapachas teaches us that the two major types of tzaras have secondary types of tzaras. So whether it is a baheres, which is white as snow, or it is a spot which is secondary to that, like the film of an egg, or it is se'es, which is like white wool, or it is secondary to that, which is like the white of seed. Go ahead. Like the white of the seed that they used to paint the walls of the Heifel. Whatever it is, the coin has a tradition looking at it. He measures it, he gauges it, and he might tell the guy, depending on what he sees. If the hairs have turned white and it's clear that it's tzaras, so then the Torah says he might tell the guy, you have tzaras, you're tameh, get out. And he has to leave the camps. He has to stay alone. He has to grow his hair long. He has to tear his clothes like he's in mourning. He has to wear his talis and cover it down till right by his eyes. He wears his hat very low. He covers his mouth. He's just like a person in mourning. Unclear whether he's allowed to be with his wife or not. He that's a person who's a mitzora muhlat. It's already, he's out. He's clearly been decided that he is tameh. Then you have a guy who has a blemish, and the kohen looks at him and says, the Torah says that sometimes the kohen will look and he only has certain signs of tzaras. The hairs haven't turned white. So the kohen will tell him, look, but the size of your tzaras is kadosha. You do have the right size, which is approximately the size of a penny. You do have a white spot the size of a penny. You do have that size white spot. So we're going to close you. Which means he goes into a house and stays in that house for 7 days. And after 7 days, the kohen looks at him again and gives him a verdict. Now, what's the difference? Once the kohen tells him we have to close you, he has certain levels of tumah. We discussed earlier that a kohen is tameh, not a kohen, I'm sorry, that a mitzora is tameh like a dead person. He walks into the house, everything in the house becomes tameh. He has very, very severe tumah, a person that has tzaras. So the Mishnah now is going to describe certain details of tzaras, and our Gemara is going to describe certain details of tzaras. So let's go along, and as we go along, we'll fill in the details that are necessary. You know that a guy who has that's muhlat, a person who is decided, he's finished, he's defiled, he gets sent out of the camps. What about a mitzora musgar? Does he get sent out of the camps? Now, when a person becomes pure from tzaras, that's parshas mitzora. Torah says he has to shave all his hair, shaves his head, shaves his beard, shaves anywhere that there is bunches of hairs that are visible. He shaves his hair, he becomes all smooth, and he has to bring two birds. One gets slaughtered outside the camp, and the other one gets sent away. A special procession with the mitzora when it becomes pure. There's a procession. What you do with the blood of the one that's slaughtered? That's Parshas Mitzora. So now let's begin our Mishnah. Now that we've had an overview of tzaras, tells us the Mishnah. You guys understand that I have to pick and choose. meaning the way I explained it goes in line with a Stam Mishnah. It goes against the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in certain regards, meaning I have to pick and choose. So when you learn it and you come back and say, wait a second, you said that Tzaraas has four different colors, Rabbi Akiva says there are eight, you said this, fine, you'll get there, you'll see the details. I do have to gloss over details so that it's understandable. So I'm just telling you, I'm giving you the picture, which is the basic picture in Shas. When you learn these concepts in Shas, now you have the basic pictures. You'll hit the Gemara in Shavuos, and in, that discusses Mitzora, suddenly you'll see there are more details we didn't discuss. Okay, but for now, this is what we need. Okay? Forgive me that we can't learn all the Dinim of Tzaraas now, right? But learning Megillah. So, says the Mishnah. Again, we're on Ein Bein. Ein Bein Mitzora Musgar Limtzora Muchlat. There's no difference between a person who has Tzaraas who's being closed off for his 7 days to a person who has Tzaraas that's finished, he's got Tzaraas. Ela, the only difference would be Piriya, growing his hair long, Uprima, tearing his clothing. Now once he's a finished Tzaraas, so then he has to tear his clothing like a mourner, and he has to grow his hair long. And Piriya is growing the hair long, and Prima is tearing the clothing. Yes. Rosho yiyeh parua. Uvgadav yiyu purumim. His clothing will be torn. Ein ben toho mitoch esger, letoho mitoch echlet. There's no difference if he became pure after the 7 days, or he became pure after he was completely defiled. Ela taglachat v'tzipurim. The only difference is whether he has to shave and do the whole procession with the birds. Okay? If he was in the 7 days and he became tahor, so he doesn't require that procession. If he was out of the camps and tameh, so he needs that whole procession.
Ela is referring to
the idea behind the whole we're doing this.
I don't know if on Torah for me there's a shir on the Torah, but if you look, the Chizkuni, the Sephorno, those mefarshim explain it. We can't go that much in depth. Yeah. What? I don't know if Rashi. Rashi gives midrashim of Chazal, right? Chazal do explain.
About, like, it's half a
word. We're listening.
Is that the reason it's actually because Tzaraas? They say comes from speaking lashon hara and mechilut, and the bird is like a chattering animal. You know, it's always like, you know, making noise. It's always speaking. It's like mipatpet. And that's why he's sacrificing Dafka the birds, because the bird is the way it's verbalized, that it represents somebody who's not careful with his speech. That's
very nice. Yafe? Yeah.
I don't remember from here.
Okay, back to the Gemara. Halinyan, no, it's beautiful, yeah. Halinyan, I didn't remember that explanation, because I would have said that. That's a good explanation. Okay. Halinyan, Shiloach v'tuma. No, it says that. You're 100% right.
Well, was right, but
I think it's a Gemara. It's quoted in Rashi, but I think it's a Gemara. Ali Inyan Shiloach Mituma. We understand that a Mitzora, with the Gemara said the difference between a person who has Tzaraas and is closed or has been decided, the only difference is whether they grow the hair or tear their clothing. We understand. Ali Inyan Shiloach, but with regard to being sent out of the city, Vituma, and that he is Tameh, as we discussed earlier, Zev Zeshavin, we understand that they are both equal. Now, the Gemara is going along the same structure that we've seen in the past few pages. The Gemara says, if the Mishnah said there's no difference, the Mishnah didn't mean in everything, he meant with regard to specific points. In regard to which points is the Halinyan, so over here it says Shiloach Vituma. Then the Gemara goes on to ask Minani Mili, and when the Gemara asks Minani Mili, just like before, the Gemara isn't asking it about what it just said, it's asking it about the din of the Mishnah. You told me this distinction in the Mishnah, that a person who has Tzaraas, that's enclosed, does not need to grow his hair and tear his clothing. How do you know that? I understand the Torah says it by a person who's been decided that he has Tzaraas. Once he's kicked out of the camp, and we know he has Tzaraas, Tame Yikra, he has to keep telling people, I'm Tame, and daven for me, I need to be cured, don't come near me, you can't go within his 4 footsteps, you gotta stay away from him. machlokas whether he's allowed to be even with his wife. So the Gemara says, I understand it says it about a mitzora that's mukhlat, that's out. But how do you know that a mitzora that's musgar, that's closed off, does not have these halachos? Mi no ha ni mili. Where do you get this thing from?
But he doesn't.
That he does not. Correct. Just like you say he's tamei, how do you know that he's not? He doesn't require priya and prima. Detani Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak amed Rav Huna. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak quoted the following brisa in front of Rav Huna. I don't know what that word means. The brisa derives the following. It says in the Kamei. I think we discussed this, no? That I don't know it.
He left it at that.
I don't know. Okay. V'tiaro, the pasuk says, V'tiaro ha-kohen, it says, the kohen will close him off for 7 days. Let's say after 7 days, he doesn't see a change. So he doesn't know what to do. Says the Torah, close him off for another 7 days. And then, if you see that it's gotten lighter, it hasn't spread, so then the Torah says, V'tiaro kohen mispachati, the kohen will declare him to be tahor, it's a mispachat, it's not really tzaras. After the second set of 7 days, the kohen could declare him as tahor. V'chibes begadav, the Torah says, V'tahir, and then he will be tahor. So the pasuk says, V'tiaro hakohen mispachat hi. So here you have a person that never got tameh, right? He was only musgal. And then the pasuk says, V'chibes begadav v'taher. What does the word v'taher mean? So we have on tradition that v'taher does not mean the way we would think. We would think v'taher means he will immerse in the mikveh and he will be pure. Chazal understood that certain words have different meanings in Lashon HaKodesh than we would think. For example, the pasuk says in the Ten Commandments, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. What does Zohar mean? We think in modern Hebrew it means remember. Chazal had a tradition that no, Zohar is an active verb. Do an act of remembrance. Zohreu Alayayin. Declare that you're remembering him. Do an act to commemorate. Do an act to ensure you don't forget. Anytime you have a zohar, Chazal says zohar means an active verb. Not the way we would think in modern Hebrew that zohar just means remember, tisko. No, zohar is an active verb. By the same token, the word taher, Chazal say, doesn't mean he will now be tahor. That would be v'yithar in Tanakh Hebrew. V'yithar means and he will be tahor. The word v'taher, Chazal understood to mean and he was tahor. So Chazal said, wait a second, what does the pasuk mean? He was tahor. The pasuk is indicating that there was an aspect of tumah that was missing from him. Remember, what does the word tahor mean? Tahor means removal of. It's zero because it's the removal of tumah. So tahara really means the removal of something. Yes? So vitaher, and he was removed from certain aspects of tumah. So the Gemara says like this, being that the pasuk says v'taher, and he was tahor all along that he was closed in, he was not completely defiled, we understand that to mean tahor mipriya uprima demikara. All along he was removed from this rule of having to grow his hair and tear his clothing. He doesn't have to do that, right? He has other aspects of Amitzora. Vitaher indicates, and he was slightly pure all along. In which regard? In that he wasn't required all along to grow his hair and tear his clothing. And this is the source that Amitzora, who is locked into the house, he's musgal during those 7 days, does not have to tear his clothing and grow his hair. Where are you? Mispachati, that's the pasuk. Mispachati means it is like a blemish on the skin that isn't tamei anymore. It is, maybe the proper word would be tertiary, yeah? Yeah. No?
Is it what? A blemish that's no longer on the skin?
Blemish on skin that's not the tummy.
Yeah, what does tertiary mean?
Tertiary means like less than secondary. It means like
right. Yeah. Right, no. So yeah. That's the point. Every nega has a secondary nega. This becomes a tertiary nega. Meaning every nega has a second level, and that second level is called sapachas. This that's called mispachas is tertiary.
It's just like mispach.
Right, right. That's what.
It's something other disease.
Right,
so
something.
We don't know what else it is. It's some other something.
Okay.
It's something less. Meaning, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's not tzaras. It's the guy had a rash. He's got something on his skin, but it's not that. It's something that's
different,
not tameh. It's not tameh. From the Torah's perspective, it's not tameh.
And so the difference between a muzgav is just that he didn't leave his house since he had like he hasn't had contact with any other person since he had tzaras.
Well, there are halachot. Musgar is enclosed. The kohen tells him, now you stay here for 7 days. Doesn't have to be his house.
Right.
Meaning it might be a different house.
Right.
Now, we said, what's the difference? The Mishnah said, a musgar, the only difference between him and a mukhlat right. is that he does not have to grow his hair and tear his clothing. They're equal in that they have to be closed off out of the city, out of the walled cities at least. And they're both equally tameh. Which means if he lived in Jerusalem, he'd have to leave his house. If he lived in a city out in the desert, he could technically stay in his house and be locked in. But he stays in the house 7 days. So we said the source for that is the word vitaher.
See what comes after.
Okay. So. Okay.
Like if he washed his clothes and he was tahor.
We have to see the next Gemara before we expand so much. Shalom, shalom. Okay.
How long do objects remain tameh?
Mechover lekarka doesn't become tameh generally. Anything attached to the earth doesn't become tameh, except for an oven, earthenware oven. Okay. We're going to have to pause here. And I have to run down, take attendance. If you guys want, after attendance, we can...